Energy. Haven't we had an awesome day? My goodness. Voices of Grace, you blessed me. That was a beautiful, beautiful special. And our children and now our dance ministry. We thank God for all these wonderful, wonderful ministries that God has given and all the wonderful leaders that make these possible here at Grace Bible Church. There was a certain young lady who lived many years ago that could very well have been a very unhappy, troubled, angry woman. I'll tell you just a few details. Her father died very tragically while she was still a small child, leaving her to be raised in what we would consider to be poverty today by a widowed mother and grandmother. As a result of a doctor's careless error, when she was only 6 weeks old, she was left afflicted with lifetime blindness and never saw again after she was 6 weeks of age. This tragic and traumatic experience and many others like it in this young woman's childhood would have left many people in our generation thinking they had grounds for a lifetime of self-pity, bitterness, psychological disorders, and malpractice suits. And yet in her autobiography, Frances Jane Crosby wrote these words, and I quote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all of my life, and I thank Him for this dispensation. It is a fact that the doctor who destroyed her sight never was able to forgive himself. He even moved away from that area, but there was no room in Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment, and she said numerous times, 'If I could but meet him now, I would say, thank you, thank you, thank you, for making me blind.' The blindness that many would have considered to be an accident or a curse, she considered to be one of her greatest blessings. She accepted her blindness as a gift from God, and again I quote, she said, 'I could have never written the thousands of hymns that God has inspired in me if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all of the interesting and beautiful objects that it would have presented to my notice.'" I want you to listen to a poem. It was the first poem she ever wrote. She wrote it when she was 8 years old. And it reflects her life, which lasted until 95 years. But listen to what this 8-year-old girl wrote. "Oh, what a happy child I am. And though I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So, weep or sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, I will not." And for over a century, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has reaped the benefits of this one woman's thankful heart, especially you that are in my generation and maybe the next, will recognize a few of these songs we grew up singing. "To God Be the Glory," "Blessed Assurance," "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," and "The Light of the World Is Jesus," and over 8,000 other hymns came from this one woman who learned to have an attitude of gratitude. Choosing to be a blessing and not to be bitter. One of the greatest blessings spiritually that God has given to believers is the spiritual weapon of gratefulness. It's so appropriate that, of course, this is the week of Thanksgiving and our focus should be upon it. But it may surprise some of you how beautifully it blends with the series of messages that God inspired us to bring on stewardship. The title of that message is chosen very prayerfully and thoughtfully. And it may surprise you that God's plan of stewardship, done correctly, is based upon gratitude. In case you didn't know it, God's Word says that God loves a cheerful giver. God favors those who give not only out of obedience, but with the right attitude. God not only is interested in the correct amount, He's even more interested in the correct attitude. And so stewardship, done correctly, is based upon an attitude of gratitude. I've been very encouraged, and I say that humbly, but so many, many responses we've had to these practical biblical messages, even many from outside of the church, from people I don't even know who listen to these messages, and from within the church, people have said, "Pastor, I've known that, but it's so good to be reminded of it," and new Christians learning new insights, and that's why we have this annual stewardship emphasis. And this morning, as you can see, we continue that with the theme of gratitude. Now get your pen out, and I'm going to give you some information throughout the message, and I hope you will fill in the blanks in your bulletin and take it home with you. The first statement that we need to understand is that money is one of the greatest spiritual battles we have in our Christian life. Now, whether you know that or not, or realize it or not, it's a fact. And you know what I found interesting? A government-sponsored survey was done across America a few years ago. And the particular people that they focused in this survey were people who made application for and pursued a divorce. They didn't have to respond to it. They voluntarily responded. And you know what was interesting? They listed 19 items that were very common causes of friction and, you know, serious friction that could even lead to divorce. Do you know that out of the 19 items listed on that survey, 55% of all people said the number one conflict in our marriage is finances. You would think other choices, but no. In fact, it was discovered that the number one stated cause of divorce was money. Well, I'm not basing our message upon that survey, but I think it is interesting that even the world is confirming what God has said. Look on the screen, if you will, a very familiar scripture. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, "For the," don't miss that word, "the love of money." Money's not evil, but the love of money is the root of how much? All evil. Now, I didn't say that. Government didn't say that. God says the love, an incorrect relationship with finances, has the potential of being the root of all evil. And if you think he's just bluffing, look at the next statement. Some people have coveted after. What's covetousness? We've said it every week this month. It is wanting things we don't need. Desiring money for things we don't need. And there are people that have coveted after it, and the consequence was that it caused them to err from the faith. It created spiritual problems and pierced them through with many sorrows. And all the people said, mm-hmm. And I know what's going to surprise. I'm going to surprise some of you right now. Not everyone. But there's a few of you that are going to have real difficulty believing this next statement, but I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, not only is money one of our greatest spiritual battles, but both poor people and rich people have trouble with money. I know you don't believe that. But it just as much trouble in prosperity as you have in poverty. There are multitudes of people, especially the younger generation, who think if I just had enough money, I wouldn't have any problems. Can I tell you something? If you got problems now, you ain't seen nothing. Seriously. Look on the screen at the verse before that well-known verse I just read. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9 says, they that be rich, they fall into special temptations and snares and into many foolish and hurtful lusts that end up drowning people in destruction and perdition. Beloved, every person I'm preaching to today, if you had lots of money, you would have more temptations than you have right now. You'd have more spiritual challenges staying humble and staying content. I will never forget. I happen to have a friend that, through the principles we were teaching, became very successful. And we stayed very close and are until this day. He said to me, Gene, you know, this money has totally destroyed every relationship that I have on this earth. I have no idea when anyone is nice to me what their motive is. He said, you don't understand what I am saying. But he said, it causes you to be insecure with every person's motives. From that day to this, I have never, ever taken a dime from him. This church has never received a gift from him. And I could ask him probably for anything. Because I don't want our friendship to ever be jeopardized by money. So don't you think for a moment that money is the answer. It's not. The wisest man who ever lived, do you remember his name? And you know why he was the wisest man? Was because God gave him an opportunity to ask for anything he could want. He said, give me wisdom. And do you remember what God did? God not only gave him wisdom, he gave the other things he could have asked for, but here's what he said. Here's what God said. There has never been a person before you. There'll never be another after you as wise as you. On the front of the bulletin today, you read the words of Solomon that the Holy Spirit inspired in this man of God. And look on the screen. Here's what he said. Two things have I required of thee, or requested of you, God. Do not deny them to me before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with that which is convenient. Give me only my needs. Lest I become full, lest I become prosperous, successful, and deny thee, and even say, who is the Lord? And lest I should become poor and be tempted to steal and take the name of my God in vain. Many years ago, God gave me that as my life verse. That is the prayer that I pray consistently to God. I have no desire to be rich, and I do not want to be poor. I believe that is a biblical, wise goal for all of us. And yet in our generation, so many people try to equate prosperity with success and even spirituality. But a great spiritual weapon in financial freedom is gratitude. And as our beloved Gail said just a moment ago, Thanksgiving should be more than just a holiday. It should be more than just something we do once a year. Thanksgiving for believers should be a lifestyle. We should be continually grateful and expressing gratitude to everyone and to God for everything. Well, I'm sure some of you thought I'd forgotten. No, I didn't. Let me see your Bible. That's introduction. Now we're going to start preaching from the book of James. If you'll take your Bibles and open them to the book of James, chapter 1. And this will be an expository textual message, but it's only going to come from one verse of Scripture. But what a tremendously relevant and life-changing verse it is. James 1, drop down to verse 17, and here's what it says. Every, how many? Every good gift. And how many? Every perfect gift is from where? And cometh down from the. And you will notice that word Father is capitalized. It's not talking about a human. It comes down from our Heavenly Father, in whom there is no variableness, never changes, and neither shadow of turning. Now we need to do just a real quick Bible study before we launch into our outline this morning. You know every word of God is inspired and has a purpose. And there's a reason that this text refers to good gifts and perfect gifts, but we need an explanation to appreciate it fully. The word that is translated here, good, refers to the physical. Like this water, for example. It refers to things that are tangible, things that are visible, and quite frankly, temporal. I drink this water and I'll get some temporary pleasure out of it, but after a few hours at the most, it's gone. And I want some more. It is real, but it's temporal. And the Greek word here that is translated perfect is a word that refers to the spiritual, to things that are intangible. I'll say more about it in a moment, but take, for example, faith. How about peace? Young people, how about love? Can you go to the grocery store and buy some love? Can you write a check and get a prescription for peace? Are they real? Of course they are. But that's what he's saying here. And what I want you to notice this morning in our text, it says that every tangible, temporal, physical gift we receive comes from God. You may think that it came from that man, that woman, that company. No siree. Every good gift originates in the heart of the Father, and it is sent from Him. And every perfect gift comes down from God above, and God wants all His children to give Him gratitude for those gifts. You say, well, preacher, I don't have anything good happen to me. God says you do. And I choose to believe God. Psalm 68:19, you know what he says? Blessed be the Lord, our God, our Savior, who daily loadeth us with blessings. You may not realize it. You may not express it. But every person listening to this message is daily blessed of God. And he says, all I want in return is for you to give me gratitude and express your gratitude. So let's talk about these for a few moments and leave your Bibles open perfectly to where we are. And first of all, we need to be thankful for those good gifts. Yeah, the physical, the temporal, the tangible. First of all, thank God for His food. You realize that every bite of food you eat, every drink that you drink, comes directly as a gift from God? You say, oh no, man, I went to the store and bought it. I worked hard to get that. Uh-huh. Who gave you the job? Who gave you the health to get to the store? I think sometimes we get so comfortable in America, we forget there are many, many places in the world where people are not lazy. There is no job. There is no food. And some of them are more spiritual than I am, and they're struggling because it's not available. Everything we eat and drink comes from God if it is healthy. And the Bible said that we should stop before we consume it and bow our heads and say thank you to the one who gives it to us. And it should not be a ritual where we just say some empty words. We should not be embarrassed who sees us or care about what other people think. It should not just be something that is forced. It should come from a heart that says, I know, God, you have provided this, and I am thankful. I love this scripture. We'll put it on the screen. The psalmist said in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a saved person, child of God, are ordered by the Lord. And it's amazing to us that our great, mighty, holy God actually delights in looking after His children. And even though that person may fall, and we all do, we're not utterly going to be cast down because the Lord upholds us with His hand. And the psalmist said, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Do I have another witness here today? Don't let David be the only one who says that. Listen, I can testify that I have been young and now I am getting older. But I have raised 5 children and 15 grandchildren. And my children, by the grace of God, have never gone to bed hungry at night. They've never been wondering whether... And I give God the glory. I know God has kept His promise to this unworthy sinner. Look at the words of Jesus. And by the way, anyone else want to give a witness to that fact? That God has been good? That God has met your needs? I didn't say you have everything you want, but God said, I'll give you everything you need. And He doesn't lie. Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 in that Sermon on the Mount. He even approaches it by asking a question. Why are you stressing? Why are you worrying and fretting over things in life such as what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you're going to wear, where you're going to sleep? What's your problem? Look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't have barns. But your heavenly Father feeds and takes care of them. Don't you think He can take care of you? Am I preaching to someone today who's worried about how you're going to feed your family next week? I'm not being critical. I know that to be a fact. We have people today who don't even know what they're going to eat tomorrow. I'm preaching to some people today, your rent is either due or maybe past due. And you know what's coming up? The first of the month. Your power bill has already been extended, hadn't it? And the cupboard is empty. And you're just sending out texts and Facebook pleading all over for people. Folks, you need to stop looking out. You need to start looking up to Jehovah Jireh. God may use people to bless you, but you need to understand every good gift, every tangible gift, it comes down from the Father in heaven, and give Him thanks. And I can tell you something, God has no panic in heaven. God ain't running around trying to figure out how to help you. He is Jehovah Jireh. And when He comes through, be sure to give Him thanks. Give God thanks for your family. Does anyone remember this Proverbs? I love Proverbs 18:22, and some of you are going to love it too. You know what it says? Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. You say, well, preacher, that didn't happen to me. Neither time. Well, why don't you wake up and realize you didn't marry in God's will? Quit blaming God for your sin and your foolishness. The Word of God says that when you marry in the will of God, you have found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. That's why you need to wait on the Lord until He does provide the right one. Look on the screen. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says two are better than... Yes. It actually is good. Not bad, because they have a good reward for their labor. And when God gives you children, guess where they come from? I'll tell you where they came from. Psalms 127:3. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. We may be able to create gigantic computers that store billions of pieces of nonsense and make missiles that go out to the moon and come back. We cannot create life. Only God does. And your children may be planned or unplanned, but every child is a gift from God. And I understand the challenges of parenting. And if some of you think it ends at 21, I got some wake-up news for you. Serious step, but what a blessing they are. And can I tell you something else? Look up here. Any time that a person is born again and obeys God and joins and gets involved in a New Testament church, a Bible-based church, you know what happens? God gives you another family. It's called a spiritual family. And sad to say, sometimes that spiritual family is more dependable than your biological family. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Look on the screen. There's a verse of Scripture that is often quoted, but usually misquoted. We often talk about the first part, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. People tell me all the time, well, I don't have any friends. Well, there's the answer. Stop blaming others. You say, well, that's just not my personality. It's not mine either. And people are surprised when they hear that. But if you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Sometimes I'm driving down the highway and I start waving. Jan said, who was that? I said, I don't know. I speak to everybody. God says, if you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. But wait a minute. Look at the rest of that verse. That's what I want you to see today. There is a friend, and it's amazing to me how I even hear preachers take that and talk about God. It is not. If it was, it'd be a capital F. This is not talking about friendship with God. What it says here is there are friends on this earth that are closer to you than even your brother. Ladies and gentlemen, spiritual genes are stronger than biological genes. The blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than the blood of any human. And the church of Jesus Christ is a gift that God sent down from the Father. And that's why you need to get involved in a church like this one. In fact, can I tell you something? I want you to put this in your notes today because it's so vitally important. Tithing. What we've been talking about all week, giving God faithfully the first 10%, done correctly every week is an expression of our gratitude. There's a reason I left that punctuation in there. And I'm not a grammarian and I know that. But I know what God wants me to say today. Tithing done correctly. Yes, you can be obedient and have a rotten attitude. You know? And you can tithe some weeks and not the next week. No, sir. I'm talking about tithing done, like God says, every Sunday morning off of the first tenth of everything God has given. And to bring it with the right attitude is a way of saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I want you to know that I know everything I received this week, you sent it. You may have sent it to the boss. You may have sent it to the government. You may have sent it to a friend. But I know it originated in your heart. And this is my way of saying thank you. Thank you. You're so good you only asked for one tenth. You could have asked for half. But give thanks. Stewardship is based upon gratitude. Thank Him for His good gifts. Thank Him for His fitness. How many of you were able to get out of bed today? Did you thank God? I'm serious. Do you understand how many people would love to be able to get out of bed? Were you able to put on your own clothes? Tie your own shoe? Did you thank God? You do understand that there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus said that if every one of us live long enough, the day will come, you will not be able to get out of bed by yourself. You will not be able to put on your own clothes. You will not be able to drive where you want to go. Don't wait until that comes to say, thank you, God. It's in the Bible. So if you're here today, and you're able to get out of bed, you ought to give thanks. If you could, if your mind is good, or even 80%, I mean, give God the glory. If you walked into church today, thank Him. If you were pushed in, thank the person who pushed you in. I'm here. If you have a car, if you have a house, if you have an apartment, if you have food, if you have any money, give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for everything I have. I know it came from you. I want to put on the screen a verse that so blessed me, and I hope it blesses you. And I'm not going into that radical camp. But all I know is that years ago I was led to preach on the names of God. And I was preaching on the name Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament, the Hebrew. And I learned something that I never learned anywhere in Sunday school or even in theological seminary. We always think about, you know, Jehovah Rapha means that if you get sick and pray, God will heal you. You better read the context. We'll just do it. And God said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which come upon unbelievers. I am the Lord, notice this is all capital letters, I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals thee. The fact is, God gives physical fitness is a blessing from God. And if you are here today and have good health, give God glory for it. Thank Him for it. Don't be bitter. Be like Fanny Crosby and learn to receive grace and be thankful. But if you're healthy, give God the praise and thank Him for it. Psalms 91:16 says, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Look at that little short verse. God does care about our eternal salvation, but God cares about our earthly health as well. I love this next verse. Some of you have probably seen it on some of my correspondence. Look on the screen at 3 John verse 2, where God made this statement. Beloved, you want to know what God wishes for you today? There it is. I wish above all things that you may first of all prosper, second of all be in good health, and third of all, even as thy soul prospereth. What an amazing statement. God wants us to have sufficient income. God wants us to have good health. And God wants us to be strong spiritually. Claim your inheritance, believers. Give God thanks. Thank Him for His food. Thank Him for His family, for His fitness. And of course, thank Him for His finances. I want to show you a verse of Scripture now. But before I put it on the screen, let me tell you who it is. It's David. The Bible says a man after God's own heart certainly had his shortcomings, but he loved God and God loved him. And I want to show you one morning, David filled out his envelope. You can only imagine he was a king. I've been his pastor, I'd probably been very excited. All I know is this, David filled out his envelope, prepared his tithes and offerings, and look what he said as he brought it to the Lord. Holy Spirit said, this is so inspiring and so correct, I'm going to put it in the infallible Bible. And I want you just to imagine, David is waiting for the offering plate to come. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in heaven and in earth belongs to you. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above everything. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand it is the power and might. In thy hand you can make great and give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we bless you, we thank you, we praise thy glorious name. And listen to this. And who am I? And who are all these other people that are bringing their tithes and offering that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? After all, everything we have came from you. And all we're doing is giving back to you what you gave to us. Woo! I can't preach any better than that. That is the attitude we should have every Sunday when we prepare and bring our... It does matter, our attitude. Tithing correctly every week is an expression of our gratitude. Every Sunday I'm saying, thank you, God, for everything you gave me that week. Now get your pen out. Because we're going to go a little deeper than just the tithe this morning. Because you see, offerings correctly given conquer three of Satan's fiery darts. You know what they are? You better. And when any believer, now listen before I even give them to you. When any believer takes any surplus... That's part of our problem today. Even those who tithe think, oh, the other 90% I can do with whatever I want to. No, you can't. We are to be good stewards of the whole 100%. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And anything that God gives you beyond your needs, we need to prayerfully ask God what He wants us to do with that surplus. And if we will start praying for opportunities to give above the tithe, it will conquer three of Satan's most damaging fiery darts. Number one, covetousness. You know what covetousness is? It's looking for something I don't need. Try and satisfy my flesh nature. So God has met my needs and I've got some money left over, so what do? I start looking for opportunities to invest in other people. Are in works of God. And you know what it does? It automatically takes the focus off of self and puts it on others. It is a way of quenching that fiery dart that's in every one of them. Don't look at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. If you're alive and breathing, you got that same temptation in you. The flesh fights against the spirits in the Bible. And that's one of the ways you kill it, is by not feeding it. And the second one is pride. The Bible even says pride goes before a fall. The Holy Spirit before a fall. Yeah, and so this taking surplus and setting it aside and dedicating it to God is a way of saying, Lord, I know that everything I have you gave me. And you have the right to do with it whatever you want to do. And the third fiery dart is discontentment. Yeah, see, offerings keeps my focus on others. Years ago, God taught me that anytime I get an unexpected gift, whatever the source may be, I immediately give God the first 10, and I set the other 90%, not 10%, the whole thing aside, and wait on God to give me direction. What do you want to do with this? And sometimes He will show you immediately. And by the way, that's the way we operate this church. That's the way you're able to do things that God wants you to do, is by maintaining discipline and keeping your focus. It's not for something I want. It's for something God wants to do. And I'm waiting, Lord, to see what you are going, where you want me to give this. Ephesians 5:20 says, we are to be giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You beautifully heard these children a moment ago. I thought they were going to preach my sermon. Look on the screen. Psalms 100 verse 4. What do? Enter into His gates. Yes. You want to get a hearing with God. Don't shake your fist in His face. Oh, Jonah's out there. I'm mad at you, God. God said, you think I'm upset? Now you feel any better? I'm serious. Go ahead, rant and rave all you want to. But if you want to get into God's presence, you better understand you enter with thanksgiving. Not complaints and belly aching and petitions and all that kind of stuff. You come before God with thanksgiving. And if you want to get right in there in the inner court, right up in His lap, you praise Him and you brag on Him. I'm trying to help you today. Look on the screen what Jesus said. A verse that changed my life many years ago. Jesus said in Luke 12:48, unto whomsoever much is given, of that same person shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Simply meaning, if God promotes you, or could I even say when God promotes you, when God prospers you, just remember Deuteronomy 8:18, it is the Lord thy God who giveth thee power to make wealth. And pray for ways to give to the temporal and to the eternal. Thank God for His good gifts daily, weekly, unceasing. Well, let's move on quickly. Yes, our text says in James 1:17 that every good gift comes down from God above, but it also says that every perfect gift. I shared a moment ago that those perfect gifts are spiritual gifts. They may be intangible, but they also come from God. Let's see if I can play on a few of them. Anybody in here ever experienced the peace of God in your life? I hope everyone has. But some may not have. And can I tell you something about the peace of God? You may be going through a storm. I mean, it looks like everything in the world has come loose. And you're being attacked in many different directions. But in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the uncertainty, amazingly, Philippians 4:7 is being manifested in your life. The peace of God that passeth all. Sometimes I just say, I can't believe I'm not stressing. I can't believe I'm not angry. I'm not responding. Nope. Peace of God. Beyond understanding. Meaning, wait a minute. You can't buy it. It's not tangible, but friend, it's real. Do you remember what Jesus said just before He ascended? My peace I leave with you. Aren't you glad He didn't take it with Him? Woo! We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? My peace I leave with you. Not like the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. If I'm preaching to any Christian today that's living in fear or worry, you're living beneath your inheritance. Jesus said, that's yours. Take it. What about faith? Indescribable. But do I have a witness here today? That you're in a challenge. You may have even lost your job. You may have had a cut in benefits. There may have been and there will be. Unexpected expenses come. And you can keep looking at all these problems and start beginning to panic or to be afraid. Or you can look into this book where He says, and my God will supply all my needs by His riches and glory. All right, God, I choose just to focus on You. The joy of knowing I am under the blessing of God is worth a lot more than money in the bank. Because you see, in Numbers 23:20, he said that whom the Lord blesses, no person can curse. Faith. It's a gift of God. And the Bible says that we are to give God thanks. So let's do that this morning. First of all, let's thank Him for our salvation. How many of you are saved today and know it? Would you raise your hand? One day a person said, you shouldn't do that. The Bible says, whosoever believes will not be ashamed. You say, well, you're embarrassing all those others. They need to be convicted. So let's do it again. How many of you are saved and know it? Yeah. Amen. Can I ask you another question now? Be careful. You know why you're saved? Don't you dare say because of Brother Gene. Don't you dare say because of Grandma. Every person who's saved, you know why you're saved? Put it on the screen. For by grace are you saved. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. You say, yeah, but that's my faith. Wait a minute. Where'd you get the faith? That didn't even come from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not a person today who raised your hand can take any credit for your salvation. It's a gift completely unmerited. Oh, Paul knew that. Look at Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Yep, capital F. For what? That He has made us meet or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness and has translated us, present tense, into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know what happened the day that you accepted God's Son as your Savior? Oh, my goodness. You don't have any. I didn't have any idea. I just knew. I believe what the Bible says. But, dear friend, the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gave you eternal life. No one can ever pluck you out of His hand. You say, well, I was taught different. You was taught wrong. That's why we're trying to straighten out that lie of Satan. He gives us eternal life, and no man can pluck you out of the hand of Jesus, and you and Jesus are in the hand of God. Yes, sirree. He said in Romans chapter 8, there is nothing, not life, not death, not angels, not principality, not things present, things to come, height, death, nor any other creature who can ever separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. I mean, if nothing's going right in your life, why don't you just get alone with God and thank Him that you're saved? Thank Him that you're a child of God. You got a mansion waiting you for heaven that you received as a gift. I was studying this week of scripture, and if I noticed it the way I did, I just don't remember it. I want you to look on the screen. It's something God gave me this week that's just blessed me. I hope it'll bless you. In Isaiah 49, look at verse 14. Children of Israel apparently feeling like some Christians do. Hey, Lord, remember me? The Lord has forsaken me. He's forgotten me. And God answered back and said, can a woman forget her sucking child? She would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Well, in reality, sometimes that happens. But I'm not a woman. I'm God. I want you to know that I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got saved, He not only put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, He engraved your name in the palms of His hands. Ooh. And can I tell you something? Go ahead and get your pen out. It's the last sentence in your outline. Sharing and serving God when it's done correctly is nothing but an expression of our gratitude. The old devil tries to get so many of these cults and false doctrines out here. You know, some people say, well, you got saved by faith, but you got to keep your salvation. That ain't grace. We don't serve God. We don't give. We don't go on mission trips to try to retain our salvation. Jesus Christ finished it on the cross. It's completed. Done correctly, sharing the gospel, serving the Lord is a way of saying, thank you, God, for saving me. And because you have saved me, and it's unconditional and it's unceasing, I want everyone else to know you as well. That's what I believe Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look on the screen. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Here it is. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. But there's not a period there. There's a comma. Yes, He does get involved in our life. Yes, He does help us get through situations so that we may be able to comfort other people who are in any kind of trouble. And guess what we're going to teach them? The things that God taught us while we were going through our situation. Oh. Does anybody get that? I want all of you to. Look on the screen what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 14. The Apostle Paul said, I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. Stop a minute. Paul, you got a problem with money, boy? Are you trying to tell me you're in the ministry and you owe bills here, there, everywhere you go? You've left behind nonsense. Paul was the one who said, owe no man anything. What is Paul saying? Because God loved me when I was not lovable. When God should have wiped me off of the earth and sent me to eternal hell, He sent His Son, Jesus. He loved me, and I persecuted His church. He still reached out to me. And because He has forgiven me of my horrible sin and brought me into the family of God, I owe a debt to every sinner around the world, as many as I can get to. I owe a debt to them. And as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome. Paul, you may get killed at Rome. That's all right. I'd love to die for Him who died for me. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and the Gentile. We need to thank Him for our salvation, but we need to thank Him for our scriptures, His scriptures. Everybody, wave your Bible at me. Maybe a phone, just wave it at me, whatever you're using. You know what that is right there? You say, well, that's the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, you realize that this is one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us. The only way you and I know anything about God is because of this book right here. You say, well, I have these opinions. That's all it is, an opinion. And there's all kinds of opinions out there. We don't build our faith on opinions. We got an infallible book that tells us about God. And in this book are over 3,000 promises that God made to to believers. And beloved, every promise that God put in this book is backed up by His character. Titus 1:2, a God who cannot lie. Did you catch that? It doesn't say God will not lie. It says God. God cannot lie. And the one who has the power to keep His promises. And we ought to thank Him for it. Look what Paul said in Romans 15:4. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have. You know why there's so many people that feel hopeless today? Even committing suicide, thinking about it, wanting to die, living in fear, living in worry, living in guilt. You know why? Because they're looking upon the bad things they've done, the bad things other people are doing, instead of meditating upon the promises of God's Word. That's why God said in Isaiah 26:3, we'll keep him in perfect peace. Who's? You already given him your soul. You need to give him your mind today. Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is fixed upon thee. Look on the screen, Psalms 119:50. David said, this is my comfort in my affliction. What's your comfort, David? God's word. Numbers 23:19. I love this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should ever come back and say, oops, I promised something I cannot do. Has he not said it and shall he not do it? Has he not spoken and will he not make it good? He hath blessed and no one can reverse it. And I'm saying this morning, listen, as your pastor, Grace Bible Church, we are not, I'm not over the rest of the churches in the city, but I'm speaking to the members of Grace Bible Church today. Let's make this week of Thanksgiving a time of giving thanks to our God. Every single day before you pick up one bite of food, stop and say, thank you, Lord. And don't wait until it's turkey day and you got all kinds of stuff over there. If it's cereal, thank God there's people in the world who don't have cereal. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your finances. Thank God for your church. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God that you have eternal life. Thank God for this book of promises that are backed up by the character of God. Let's be thankful. Let's don't be timid. Let's speak it. Say it out loud. Everywhere we go, let's start putting some good things on the internet instead of all this garbage, you know. Let's tell people what a great God we have and how good He is to you. And finally, we should thank Him for His sanctifying grace. How many are grateful this morning that God never gives up on His children? I love this next verse. Let's put it on the screen right now. In a world that is so filled with uncertainty, instability, I love Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this one thing. What can you be confident today? In a world that is in such change and turmoil, you can be confident of this one thing. That the God that began a good work in you the day you got saved is going to continue that work until the day that He takes you face to face with Jesus. Aren't you thankful, believers, that even when we fall, and we all do, God does not discard us? I love this next scripture. It means a lot to me, and don't ever presume upon the grace of God. But don't ever despair when you mess up. For the Bible says that even a just man, even a just woman, even saved people fall down many times on our way to heaven. But look at that scripture. We rise up again. Now wait a minute, folks. Don't you miss out. We talked about it a moment ago. Why is it that we cannot and do not stay down? Why is it that even when we mess up, we don't give up, but we get up? It's because the strong hand of the very one who saved us picks us up and puts us back on our feet. We cannot be utterly cast down. And let me tell you something right now. Even when God chastens us, it's a reminder of His love. I don't know who I might be speaking to right now, but I can tell you one thing. God has chastened me several times. And I'm going to tell any one of you here today, when God whoops you, it is not fun. But don't you ever forget that even when God chastens you, it's a sign, number one, that you're His child. Number two, that He loves you deeply. And number three, it's for your good. And no chastening is going to be enjoyable, but if you'll let God do a sanctifying work of grace in your life, you'll be a better person. Look on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, whom the Lord what? What's He do? Yeah, He whoops you bad. And if you don't repent, you know what He does? He takes off your shirt and scourges. Let's just tell it like it is. It's not pretty. But remember, he does it in love. And look at verse 11 of that great chapter. No chasing for the present seems to be joy. Let me tell you something. When God whips you, you're not going to look up and say, "I didn't hurt." You're going to look up and say, "God, are you going to kill me?" I'm serious. It's right there. No chastening when you're going through it seems joyous, but grievous. But notice, afterwards, it brings about the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them who allow God to correct them. And perhaps somebody's going through that right now, but I want you to know it's a sign again of God's love. Look up here for a moment. And I hope you receive this illustration in love. You know, if some of our visitors today are new members, knew the past of the people that are sitting around you, you might be tempted to get up and run. We got some past here, don't we? But can I tell you something about a person whose past is under the blood of Jesus and under the grace of God? The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. And where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. And the safest person on this earth is a person who is living under the grace of God and walking in grace. And you know what's so amazing? We have such tremendous baggage in our past. But you bring us all together, we're some of the most loving, united, peaceful places on the earth is right here in Grace Bible Church, isn't it? It's amazing what God is doing through this church. If you don't believe that, you just wait till the end of this service and watch as gifts are just given out to in love. This church is a loving, giving, caring church. Because you see, the Bible says that this flesh fights against the spirit. But the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, what? You shall be free indeed. But I want you to hear this and I'm done. I don't know who you consider to be the best Christian in this building today, or the best Christian you know on this earth. But can I tell you something about that person? If that Christian becomes prideful, or if that great Christian becomes neglectful of their walk with God, they're going to cease to be a great Christian. For there's only one thing that sustains us on this earth, and it's the sanctifying grace of God. He even warned us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, anyone who thinks he stand, start thinking, "Hey, look, boy, I'm doing good." Every time I hear somebody start talking about how great they're doing, I start praying for them. Because the Bible says, anybody who thinks he stands, take heed, you're just about to fall. There's no good thing in any of us, including your speaker, except the grace of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, sometimes, hear me now carefully, the Apostle Paul was that example. So was Moses, so was David. And a lot of these great Christians, so was Mary Magdalene. Some Christians who come to understand how merciful God has been. David said, God has not rewarded me according to my iniquity. He has not given me what I deserve. And because of that, I will serve Him more. Paul said, I serve God more than all my peers. You know why? Because he understood the mighty grace of God. And sometimes there are believers who are even more zealous for God because they know God has been so good to them. And their devotion, their service, their giving is an expression not of trying to keep their salvation, but to say, thank you, God, for my salvation. Let's stand together, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Can I ask you two or three questions this morning as our counselors come here to the front? Would you just be very, very honest today? Are you a grateful person? Are you continually saying thank you to God for everything that comes? Or as you look back in your prayer life, is it more like, give me, do this, do that? Why haven't... Number two, are you faithfully, weekly giving God the 10% minimum as a sign of your gratitude? If not, can I challenge you, as I have every week? There's an offering box out there in the lobby. Why don't you make up your mind? I'm going to show my gratitude. I'm going to show my faith. Starting today, I'm going to trust God to bless my tithe. Do you give cheerfully or grudgingly? And most of all, have you made the most important decision of your life, which is to ask Jesus to be your Savior? And if you have not, I want to ask you to get up out of your seat and come right now to the front and tell one of these workers, I want today to become the day of my salvation. I promise you, whatever your gender, we have both here at this altar. And somebody can take you aside and show you in the Bible how you can leave here at peace with God, forgiven of your sins, a home in heaven. And we'll give you materials that will help you get started in the Christian life. Some of you know you should have been in the baptistry a moment ago. Well, it's too late for today. But why don't you right now come and make a commitment. The next one, I will be. As the Spirit of God draws, who will come? Thanksgiving for believers should be more than just Thanksgiving Day. It should be something we do continually. Who else? Come right now. Today, I'm making this the day of my salvation. Today, I'm making this my church home. You see, I'm looking for a perfect church. There are none. They're made up people. But this is a great church, a blessed church, and I believe committed to the priorities of God. And you can tithe and you can give with confidence, and you can serve and invite people. And every time they come, they're going to hear the Bible. They're going to hear something about Jesus. They're going to be given an opportunity to give their lives to Christ. And maybe someone here today realizes, my problem is I have become bitter. I have become discontent. You know what discontentment is? Looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have. And then I'll take it another step. Discontentment really begins to develop when you look at what others have and you don't have. Contentment comes by looking at what I do have and knowing I don't even deserve it. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful.